Have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I don't know about you, but I am enjoying this study. It's been a little challenging sometimes on my part to reconcile what Solomon is saying, again, under the inspiration of God, to reconcile some of the statements he makes in Ecclesiastes with other passages in Scripture, other teachings in Scripture. They seem to contradict each other. How many folks notice that sometimes through there? But I think if we understand, and I say this all the time, if we understand a little statement that is found throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, it clarifies what he's saying and what's being taught here. And that statement is this: under the sun. And he is giving us a perspective of a very wise man who had gotten to the point where he was living his life under the sun. God had been pushed out. God's plans, God's purposes for his life, God's will for his life was completely pushed aside, and he says, I'm going to do things my way, I'm going to live my life my way. And his conclusion of that, and this is not just is it in Scripture, but it's been confirmed for thousands of years, a life lived like that, my way, my what I want, me, my mind, that life inevitably produces vanity and what? Vexation of spirit. And so Solomon is giving this testimony. He's relating to us under the inspiration of God this life that he has chosen, this direction he has gone, and how that has impacted him and what he's learned from that. Chapter 7 on to the end, he's kind of just giving these, it's almost proverbs in some ways, and that he's given these statements, things he's learned and things that will help us and things that will direct us in life and help us perhaps avoid making some of the avoid thinking the way he thought and ending up the way he did. Chapter 8, I want to begin reading in verse 2. We actually began this last week, and we came up short on time, and so I'm going to pick it up again tonight. He says in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. But who may say to him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And I believe what he's referencing here, as we began last week, he's referencing wisdom and authority. He references the king here, the king, and the king being authority. Wisdom and authority. In some circles in our society, and I think it's growing circles, that word authority is a bad word. In some circles, the idea, the concept of authority is a bad thing. But I'm here to tell you, as we pointed out last week, authority is God's idea. God is the final authority, and God has established authority. And we can fight against that, we can buck against that all we want. But I'll tell you this, we fight God, we're going to lose every single time. So authority and wisdom. Let's pray, briefly review, and pick up some fresh thoughts tonight. Father, again, it's been a good day. I'm grateful. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church body. I pray that for myself as pastor, and then all of us as individual believers, as individual members of the body of Christ, I ask God you would give us wisdom. I pray for our young people that they would be wise, that they would allow you to lead and direct them. I pray for young couples that you would give wisdom raising our families, establishing our homes. I pray for those of us the kids are grown, that you give us wisdom in the use of the time that we have left, and, oh Lord, our response, and particularly in this area of authority. Fill me with your spirit is my prayer with all my heart. Pray that you would teach us these truths here tonight through me and help us to be open-hearted and yielded to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Solomon says, I counsel thee. So he's giving us advice. How many people agree it'd be a pretty good idea to listen to somebody like Solomon when he's talking about wisdom and authority? If you remember, we pointed out he knew a little bit about both of those.
He had experienced the greatest wisdom that any human being apart from the Lord Jesus had ever experienced. He had supernaturally given wisdom. Boy, wouldn't that be something? An experience he had there. He had ruled over Israel at the pinnacle of their history. When Israel was at its greatest power, when it had the most peace and most prosperous, Solomon knew what it was like. He knew how to exercise authority. And so when he is speaking and he says, I counsel thee, it would be wise to listen to him. We pointed out last week, number one, our first point is all we got to, is that a wisdom, first of all, recognizes legitimate authority. When he references the king here, he says, I counsel thee to keep the king's command. And he comes down through here referencing the king. He's talking about authority. And he's saying a wise person, a person that has wisdom, they are going to recognize, they are going to keep that authority. The word keep means to observe or give heed to. If you remember, we pointed out there are three areas in society that God has delegated authority to man. The first one would be in the home. God has delegated the head of the home to be the man is the head or the authority in the home. Now, we live in a society, we're talking about this in Sunday school in Corinthians, we live in a society that pushes back from that. When we say that God has given the man to be the head of the home, he has given him the authority in the home, that is not to suggest that the woman is inferior to the man. That is not to suggest the woman is of less value or less importance. And I'm harping this in Sunday school because we live in a society that has so twisted that to suggest that the idea because the man's role is that of leadership in the home, that of authority in him, that's the role he's given, that somehow that makes the woman less important, less valuable. That is absolutely not the truth. And so God has delegated authority in the home. Then we also noted that God has delegated authority to government. And this is God's idea. Sometimes you hear people say, there shouldn't be any government. Government is bad. Government in and of itself is not bad. The problem with government is we have fallen people running, operating in those roles. And I've said this, this probably isn't as profound as I think it is. But I've often said the greatest form of government is a dictatorship. The most efficient, the most effective form of government is a dictatorship. But only as long as the dictator is perfectly wise, perfectly pure, sinless, and all-knowing in every way. And anytime we have anybody less than that, then we're going to have a rough time in government. And by the way, there's coming a day when we will have a dictator, a king, who is all-wise, all-knowing, all-good, and all-powerful, Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. So until then, we're stuck with us. But nevertheless, God in his wisdom and in his providence has delegated to a government's authority in society to help it operate, function safely and securely so that we can live peaceable and quiet lives and serve the Lord in fear. And so he has delegated authority in the home, he's delegated authority in the government, and he has delegated authority in the church. And we looked at a Hebrews where God has put a under-shepherd in the church, and that is the pastor. And again, here's my biggest beef with the pastor. The shepherd, the under-shepherd of the church, the flock, we're all called sheep. The shepherd is a sheep also. Well, that don't sit too well sometimes with folks. Doesn't mean the pastor's more important. Doesn't mean he has more access to God. It doesn't mean he is more spiritual necessarily. It doesn't mean a lot of things. But what it does mean is God, in his wisdom, has ordained areas and delegated areas of authority in these different areas for the purpose of function, so it can function. Anybody ever at Walmart and see a headless body walking around? How many people agree with me? A body without a head would have a hard time functioning. Right, so it's simply a matter of function. Although, however, this is free. I just thought of this. Anybody ever hear of Mike the chicken? Mike the chicken, he was a headless chicken, lived 18 months without a head. They dropped little corn stuff down his throat, his gullet. Isn't that weird? Has nothing to do with the message, but I just thought of that and captivated me. Mike the chicken. So, wisdom recognizes legitimate authority. says, keep the king's commandment. Recognize that the king has authority in these areas, and the king that needs to be recognized. The Pharisees, I don't know if I mentioned this last week. If you read the Gospels, the Pharisees had a hard time with authority. Did you ever notice that? Whose authority do you say that? They're constantly coming to Jesus Christ. Whose authority? Whose authority? Whose authority? They had a hard time with authority, but a wise man recognizes legitimate authority. And we said that those who cannot operate under authority are generally terrible at exercising authority. Learn to be a good follower, and then you end up being a better leader, right? And you military guys, I'm sure you understand that. Number two, here's our second thought. I see in verse number three that wisdom not only recognizes authority, but wisdom resists defying authority. Wisdom resists the idea of defying that authority. Not only recognize it, but they resist defying authority. Now, I use the word resist there for a reason. Look at verse 3. He says, be not hasty to go out of his sight, the king, the authority. Don't be quick to walk away from that. The word out of his sight has this idea. All right, here's the king, here's the authority that God in his providence has placed over me. He says, don't be hasty to go out of his sight. Has this idea, walk away from it. The authority has said this. The authority has exercised this authority in this area. And he says, don't be hasty to walk away from that. Wisdom resists the idea of defying authority. And the word that caught my attention here is be not hasty. He doesn't say there's never a time or place to resist authority. He doesn't say there's never a time that you need to walk away from that authority, defy it. He doesn't suggest there's never ever under any circumstances you cannot defy authority. He doesn't say that. He just says what? Are you listening, fellas? He just says what? Don't be quick about it. Don't be hasty about it. Resist the initial reaction. I ain't doing that. Be careful about that. Wise man is very, very careful about that. In fact, the Bible tells us here in Ecclesiastes, he tells us several things that we ought not to be hasty to do. And I've found my experience, and the Bible teaches this, is that generally wisdom doesn't act too quickly. Generally, wisdom will take its time. Generally, wisdom will step back and think it through a little bit, maybe get some counsel. We talked about that last week. Maybe see what others say. And don't be rash. Don't be hasty to it. Let's look at a few things, and we've already touched on a couple of these, but just real quickly, some things he says we should not be hasty to do. Go to back to chapter 5 and verse number 2. Now this, I tell you, if you'll listen to this next verse, if you'll listen to this and do what it says, it's going to save you a lot of trouble. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. I underlined it in black pen, then I read it again, underlined it in red pen, and then I circled it with blue pen. The first part of verse 2. Be not what? Rash with thy mouth. The word rash there means to quick, just fly off. I'm telling you, it's good. What I'm about to give you is good advice, and I need as much as anybody. We ought not to be too quick to speak. Anybody ever something said, something done? Boy, you said something, then you walked away and said, Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't mean just since we had church here tonight. I mean some point in your life. Be not rash with thy mouth. Stop and think about it. Think it through. Mr. Kite was here this morning, and I appreciate him so much. He's such a gracious, such a dignified man. And when Mrs. Kite, Nancy, was in the hospital, and things were winding down, we knew pretty quick she was going to heaven here soon. We were talking a little bit, and she was talking, and I tell you, that lady knew her Bible. She was grounded in doctrine in an impressive way. And we were talking about our identity in Christ and being in Christ And I was I really enjoyed speaking with her. And he was, every time I'm there, she generally did the talking and he was quiet on the side. And she called him Kitey. And she says, old Kitey doesn't say much. And and it's true. He's just standing there. And I looked over at him and smiled. And he said to me, he said this, "It keeps me out of trouble." I walked out of that room and I thought, that's a wise man right there. That's a very wise man. And so one thing the Bible tells us, we ought not to be too quick to speak. How many people here would give your right arm to go back and take some things back that have been said and done? Sure, sure. So there's some things that we're told that we ought not to be too hasty about. Look at chapter 7 and verse 9. Now again, this one here will keep us out of a lot of trouble. Chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be what? Angry. Boy, don't get quick to get angry. This old sinful nature, I'm telling you, this sinful nature is pretty powerful. It is a formidable force in our hearts and souls. And Solomon, under the inspiration of God, and Proverbs addresses this in various places. Ephesians addresses this subject. And we ought not to be quick to get angry. We ought to be very, very slow about that. What's the old thing? Count to 10. 1, 2, and then shoot them. No. Be not hasty to be angry. I wonder how many people are in a grave tonight because they got angry real quick. And boy, things blew up. I wonder how many ministries have been damaged or even destroyed because people were real quick to get angry. Something said or done, they didn't understand, they misunderstood that, and boom, they went off. I wonder how many friendships and families have been hurt. So quick to get angry. So quick to get angry. Did you notice the last part of that verse? Look at the last part. For anger resteth in the bosom of what? That's a strong statement. That's an indictment on you and I. And so this idea that wisdom, a wise person, is not rash with their speech. They don't just fly off and say something. They think it through. They find the facts. They're very, very slow on that, very careful. A wise person is very slow to get angry. They don't fly off. It's an interesting, throughout the Bible, we're told over and over and over that God, here, let me back up. Let me ask this question. Does God ever get angry? Sure. The Bible talks about the wrath of God, the anger of God. But we are told throughout Scripture over and over that God's mercies are great and that He is slow to anger. I don't know about you, but that makes me very glad that God is slow to anger. I've certainly done my share of things to make God very, very angry. And I'm very grateful that God is very slow and He gives us opportunity to recognize our error, recognize our sinful response, acknowledge it, make things right with whoever we need to make things right, and God doesn't bring the hammer down on us and pour out His wrath on us quickly. How many people ever heard this statement? If America doesn't repent, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody ever hear that statement? They used to say that years ago. Old preachers used to say that a lot. Number one, God doesn't have to apologize to anybody. And I think we ought to be very, very grateful that God is slow in pouring out His wrath and judgment on a nation, on a family, on an individual. He's very slow to do that. And when you and I, now follow my thinking here, when you and I are very slow to anger, somebody says something, flies up inside. How many people know what I'm talking about? Man, that flies up inside. Well, back off and be slow to respond, slow to speak, not rash, slow to get angry. You know who we're acting like? We're acting like God. Because God is slow to anger. And if I exercise that and I be slow to anger, I'm acting like my Heavenly Father. I'm mimicking my Heavenly Father in that sense. And that's godliness. And that's wisdom. So God is wisdom is slow to rash, not rash with the tongue, not quick to speak, not hasty to wrath. And then here he tells us in our text that wisdom is be not hasty to go out of his sight. And I put it this way, wisdom is not hasty to rebel against authority. Boy, they did something I didn't like. Oh, we're rebelling against it. No. Wisdom is very slow to kick back against authority. Now, let me ask you this question. Is there ever a time when it is appropriate to rebel against authority? Is there ever a time? Yes, absolutely. The Bible teaches that. Can you think of any great men of God, recorded in Scripture, great men of God who rebelled against the authorities put over them? Can you think of any? I'm thinking of some Old Testament characters. All right, Daniel. Do I have Daniel down? Daniel in the lion's den. That's right. I was thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bend. They didn't bow. They didn't burn. Right? You've got to, the authority says, bow down when that music's played. We said, we're not doing it. Rebellion. They walked away, so to speak, from the king's word. And God honored them. And that was the right thing to do. Can you think of anyone else? I thought of Moses. Moses and Pharaoh. And you can go through. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the New Testament. Now, keep your place. If we have time, we're going to come back here. But come to Acts chapter 5. The church is fired up at this point. I mean, the Lord Jesus has ascended to heaven. They've been praying. The power of Almighty God is poured out. The filling of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them in Acts chapter 2. And I mean, they are fearlessly, boldly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are getting saved by the thousands. Lives are being changed. The church is exploding. And in chapter 5, notice with me verse number 29. I like verse 28. Let's read that. It said, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name?" That, to me, is Satan's great commission. Don't preach in the name of Christ. Now, this is the authorities. Do not preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our word, the king's word. "And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." I think if they had tracts then, they'd have had tract month. They'd have filled the whole place up with gospel tracts. But they didn't have tracts, so they're doing it verbally. "And intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now, that's what they said when they were before Pilate. They said, "Let his blood be on us." So they brought it on themselves. But look what happens here in verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said," look at his statement, classic, "we ought to obey God rather than men." So the Bible clearly teaches us there is a place and there is a time that we are to defy authority. Now, he tells us we should be very slow about that. We need to be very careful about that, very deliberate about that. And I want to throw this out to you. We do not rebel and resist authority because what they're telling us is inconvenient. I might not agree with some of the silly laws that our government may put on us. I may not agree. We're here in raising money for this building, and we're looking into codes and all of that. And I don't know how you builders feel. I mean, I'm an expert on this, obviously. But some of these codes they require, I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That doesn't even make any sense. Now, is that a legitimate reason to say, we ain't following your codes? No. There's no law of God that says I have to build this building without a sprinkler system or something like that. You follow what I'm trying to say? We need to be very, very careful. Just because what the king is telling me I have to do, what my authority is telling me I have to do, just because it's inconvenient for me, that is not a legitimate reason to defy it. I am the default, let me put it this way, the default setting is to obey the authority. And if it's simply a matter of inconvenience, all right, God says submit to those who he has put authority over us. Just because it's a dumb ruling. I think some of the people that are in leadership positions in our government are dumb. That felt good just saying that. And I think a lot of the rules they pass are just dumb. Can I get some stuff off my chest? Thank you. I think, and this is hot item, I think not protecting your borders is stupid. Who in the world doesn't have a door with a lock on their house? I guarantee you, all these people for, boy, you got me going now. All these people for open borders, I guarantee you, every one of them have doors and windows on their houses that they lock at night. They don't believe in open borders for their house. That felt good, too. Now, having said that, pretty much unrelated to what we're talking about, just because the authority says is dumb in my mind, that is not a legitimate reason to resist it and defy it. Just because it doesn't make sense, just because it's inconvenient, or because I disagree with it. If I was in charge, this is the way we'd do it. Well, that's fine, but you're not. And the default setting is submit to the authority, follow the authority, the word of the king. So there is a place and there is a time to defy authority. There's no doubt about it. We see it in Scripture. However, we need to be very, very slow about that. Simply because it's inconvenient or I don't agree or it's dumb, that is not a scriptural reason to defy authority. Here's the scriptural reason for defying authority. If the word of the king violates the word of God, then I say, I'm going to obey God and not man. Amen? And God forbid, and this is no doubt a very real possibility, America says no more preaching the word of God. We say, no, we're preaching the word of God. Suppose the government, and I'm telling you, we're on the cusp of this, the government says you can't preach or condemn certain sins that the Bible condemns. Well, you can't say that. The government said you're not allowed to say that. My Bible says cry out and spare not. Preach the word of God. You say, preacher, you'll go to jail. I'll do what Paul did. I'll preach in jail. I'll preach in jail. So is there a place to defy authority? I'm not suggesting we're at that point in our country now. But I am saying this, there is a time and a place for that. And the church has exercised and done that a number of times throughout the years. And so Solomon is cautioning us and he's saying, resist doing that unless it's absolutely clear, absolutely right, absolutely have to. Some folks, they'll rebel against authority at the drop of a hat. He says, that's not wise. That's not prudent. That's foolish. The word walk away from, as I said, has the idea of rebelling, turning my back to the king's word and going my own way. So, only when it violates God's law. Let me give you my last one here real quick. First of all, we said wisdom recognizes legitimate authority. Number two, wisdom resists defying that authority, not unless I... clearly violates God's word. I'm not going to defy authority. I'm going to follow authority. And then the last one is this. Wisdom responds to authority. Look at verse 4 and 5. Let's come back here to Ecclesiastes. He says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? But whoso, what? Keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Authority, I think we've made this clear. I hope I have. Authority is a major issue in our lives. Right? It's a major factor. Every one of us deals with authority to some extent or another. You pull out of here and you drive down Broadford Road and you're going 40 miles an hour and you get down to the school and that little car with the bubblegum lights on top, guess what you're dealing with? Authority. Like it or not, it's going. Do you ever see these little clips on the computer? A guy says, I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't have to obey any authority. Anybody ever see those? They crack me up. They obey authority sooner or later. And so authority is a major, major factor in our life that we've got to be able to deal with. We've got to be able to function because we're gonna be messed up. We must deal with authority wisely if we're going to succeed in life. So he tells us a couple things here, and I kind of summarize these two verses. A wise person responds to authority, number one, with respect. And I get that from verse number 4, where the word of a king is there's power, there's authority. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? I think he's telling us here, listen, you be respectful. When that authority is exercised, that power is exercised, that authority is exercised by the one in authority, you be respectful. Don't say, what doest thou? Anybody here have a child, you told them something to do, you told your child something to do, and they says, yeah, why do I have to? Anybody ever have that? What was your answer, men? Because I'm dad. That's why, right? There's a reason we taught our children, at least years ago, there's a reason we taught our children to say, yes, sir. Right? Yes, ma'am. Hey, take this trash out. Oh, why do I have to do, why? What doest thou telling me that? I'll tell you what I doest thou. Right? The wise one says, yes, sir. I tell you, let me give you a little. When a policeman pulls you over and he comes walking up, what are you pulling me over for? Not a good move. A wise person would say, yes, sir. Right? And that's what Solomon's telling me. When you're interacting with authority, when you're dealing with authority, be respectful. Don't be smart mouth. How many people are seeing in the news these colleges where the kids are absolutely going wild, and somebody comes in that tries to give a speech that they don't agree with, and they shut the thing down and screaming and hollering and tearing the place up? You know what that is? They were never taught as a child to respect authority. Never taught. I can do my thing. What doest thou? Who are you to tell me? And Solomon says, a person that talks like that, thinks like that, is an absolute fool. And their life, they're heading to a life of destruction. Now listen, maybe some young people know more than God. Maybe. Maybe some young people have more experience than what's given to us in the Bible. And they say, oh yeah, I can ignore all that. I can do my thing, and I can defy God, and I can defy the Bible, and I can defy my parents, and I defy everything. And everything's going to be fine. It's going to be great. I got a secret for you. You're a fool. You're a fool. How do you think that's going to turn out? But Solomon says a wise person, and it's true, not just young people, but all of us. A wise person is respectful to authority. He says, hey, you know what? I'm not going to question. I'm not going to, what doest thou? Yes, sir. Now, if it's violating Scripture, we already said, if he's violating the Word of God, then yes, there's a time to resist that. But did you notice Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach, all of them were very respectful in their defiance. Paul was very respectful in his defiance. He says, you can throw me in prison, you do whatever you want, but I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. And so be respectful. Wisdom responds to authority with respect. We must be careful how we speak to authority. We must be careful how we question authority. And he's not suggesting there's never a place to even question authority. That's okay, but we do it respectfully. I think we ought to write letters to our senators. I do often. I think we ought to write letters to our representatives and to people that God has put in authority. We ought to challenge them if they're making something that's wrong. I write to them. But we should always do it with authority. With respect to that authority. You moron, what kind of idiots are you? You're going to burn in hell if you don't do what I... That's not Christian. It's not Christian. Disagree, express your opinion, but with respect. That's wisdom. Wisdom responds to authority with respect. And then I notice in verse number 5, wisdom responds to authority with restraint. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Now look at this. I like this last statement. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. In other words, wisdom is knowing when to respond and how to respond. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. All right, this is how I need to go about this, and this is when I need to do it. Respond with restraint. Wisdom is knowing when to question. Wisdom is knowing when to rebel. Wisdom is knowing when to submit and when to trust the authorities God has put over us. Now, I want to come back to a statement I made earlier. The general rule, the default setting is this: I submit to authority. The exception is when that authority is violating the Word of God. Right? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. I was reading U.S. Naval Institute, Ken, in their magazine of Institute Proceedings, I think. U.S. Naval Institute Proceedings. You ever hear of that? Proceedings is the name of the publication. So I'm not just making this up. That's why I'm telling you. There was a fellow that was in there, wrote an article in this magazine, in the importance of obeying the laws of the lighthouse. Two battleships, this is apparently a true story, two battleships were assigned to the training squadron. They had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. This guy said, this Frank Koch was his name, he says, I was serving on the lead battleship and I was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was terrible with patchy fog, and so the captain remained on the bridge keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing, I don't know what that means, reported light bearing on starboard bow. The captain called out, is it steady or moving astern? The lookout replied, steady, captain. He said that meant they were on a dangerous collision course with the other ship. The captain called to the signalman, signal that ship that we are on collision course. Advise you change your course 20 degrees. Back came the signal. Advisable to you to change your course 20 degrees. The captain said, send this. I am captain. Change your course 20 degrees. The reply came back. I am seaman, second class. You had better change course 20 degrees. He said by that time the captain was so furious he was spitting. He spat out, send, I am a battleship, change course 20 degrees immediately. Back came the flashing light. I am a lighthouse. Change course 20 degrees. He said, we changed course. So what I'm trying to say is this, God's the lighthouse. He's immovable. He's the authority. And we submit and we alter ourselves to the God who is the ultimate authority. You say, that's harsh. Why should I have to submit to God? I'll tell you why. Because God is good. God loves us. And He is flawless wisdom. How many of us here are willing to stand up and say, I am flawless in my wisdom? I'm not prepared to say that. And I have a God that loves me, that God's the ultimate authority, and he is flawless in his wisdom. I say, you know what? I think I'm going to submit to that. I think I'm going to trust that. Amen? Wisdom and authority. Father, I pray you'd bless and help us to trust you. Help us to see beyond our own blindness. Help us, Lord, to recognize our own finite understanding, our own finite wisdom, and to trust and submit to you and to those you have delegated as authorities over us, as young people, the parents, the authority. And our government, the authority you've given them. And Lord, even to an extent in our church, the limited responsibility. So Lord, we're all under that. We all have that. And I pray you'd help us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many with me would say, Pastor, I'm going to pay a little closer attention to my response to authority. I'm going to be a little more careful on how I respond and respect authority. Is there any like that by the uplifted hand? I want God to help me in that matter. God bless you, a bunch of hands around. I wonder how many would join me in saying, Pastor, you know, I need wisdom. I'm really lacking in that area. I think one thing I ask God for is about as much as anything is, God, give me wisdom. Help me be wise. How many join me and say, Pastor, that's me. I need God to give me wisdom, to lead me and direct me and help me. What kind of person would not want God to give them wisdom? Surely every Christian would want that. Is there someone here tonight say, Preacher, I'm not saved. Christ is wisdom. Trusting Christ is a wise thing to do. Is there any here say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I need God to help settle that. Any at all? Any at all? Now, Father, we give our invitation time. We're going into Lord's Supper here in a moment. I pray you'd help us to humble ourselves, open our hearts to you and your Spirit to search us and try us. Lord, if there's attitudes and things there that are not pleasing, that are not right, I pray in this invitation time you'd help us to deal with that and make that right. Humble ourselves. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.